I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby.
6:10 in the morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show.
Yes,
back from Vegas.
Welcome back.
Back from Northwestern.
Well, actually, Rutgers, but...
well, Northwestern hoops,
I should say. Less about that trip, the better. But how was Vegas?
Mary and Steve, we're here. Vegas was very, very nice. We spent a lot of time with our listeners, our winner, Sergeant Carl Schurer, and his wife, Officer Andrea Schurer as well, Chicago police officer. So, tons of fun, but very somber as well, as we had a lot of discussion about, you know, Commander Paul Bauer's shooting here in Chicago. But spent a lot of time with the listeners. We also, Steve renewed vows, which was very cool.
I mean, we just had two great sets of listeners.
We really did.
Let's get to those guys. I don't know. We'll talk about them coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Move that. Why don't we roll in? Top six. Joe, whenever you're ready, play that funky music, white boy.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Well, it becomes old news, and it's embarrassing that I have to say that, but in fact, that's what it is. We have another school shooting. We have over 450 kids that have died since Sandy Hook in school shootings. And all the same arguments are playing out. We got a lot to talk about with this later on this morning. Jim Ryan will join us from Parkland, Florida. Jim Ryan from ABC News with an update in just a few minutes. And it's unbelievably sad. It's twisted. It's wrong on every level. There are no words. All right. Next. We have the White Sox.
Yes, we do.
720 WGN.
Woohoo. And you were all in our black and white today.
Dave, you got black and white?
Yes, I do.
Black and gray,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Joe has his jersey on.
All right. Very nice. Mike Jacobson trying to get his job back here. Not going to happen.
You got your White Sox baseball cap on.
I do.
Looking good.
I do. And we should announce that Joe Romano has been hired officially after very tense negotiations.
Yeah.
As assistant producer on the program here.
Yes. So, yeah. Welcome, Yay, Joe.
Happy to be part of the team.
We love you.
Sources tell me it's a 10-year contract worth $1 million.
With $1 million is spread out over 1,000 years.
Right.
Yes.
A thousand years.
Joe's great. We love Joe.
Somebody
so
else
happy.
Off my coaching tree.
Yes, that's right. We're just stealing people from you left and right.
I bring somebody in and you guys just take them away.
We don't know how long it'll be before Roe convinces Joe he shouldn't be getting up this early. But it'll probably be soon. Next. Mikayla Shiffrin won the giant slalom, second career Olympic gold there.
How about
congratulations
that?
To her. She's a fun girl.
She's cool. Yeah. Like watching her.
Yeah.
She is not doing social media while she is in South Korea.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, good
I
for
think
her.
It is, too.
I think it's really smart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I didn't mention this, which is ridiculous because I should have. Jerry Reinsdorf and Larry Wirt will be on later to talk about the White Sox deal here.
Yes. Excellent.
And how I had nothing to do with any of the success of making this happen. So,
wasn't it your idea?
No, you know what?
Okay, I was trying to throw you a little.
You know, I ran into the first person who said, "I can't believe you would put the White Sox on WGN after all those years with the Cubs." Let me explain something to you, and I'm just going to leave it at this. I love the Chicago Cubs, and I love the city of Chicago. And this is going to shock you. I love the Chicago White Sox. It's been the same as in the 90s. I don't buy this crap that you can't be a fan of both sides. I respect it if you believe it, but that doesn't apply to me. And here's the thing. The Chicago Cubs front office showed zero loyalty to this radio station when the negotiations happened in 2014. I'm not going to get into the specifics, but they were completely underhanded and complete weasels in how they handled themselves. That's why the Cubs are no longer on this station. Baseball belongs on this station, and I'm thrilled that Jerry Reinsdorf and Larry Wirt and Paul Rennie and Todd Manley and the entire White Sox side we're able to get together on this.
Yeah, and
it's great for baseball, and it's great for the White Sox, and we're thrilled to be a part of it.
I'm thrilled. My family has now accepted me back because they're all Southside White Sox fans, and now they're like, you can come back to the family.
Ah, so, see, there you go.
Yeah, very happy.
That's the main reason we did the deal.
I know.
Next. State's preparing to spend $75 million to expand college admissions-related testing. This headline's important this morning because it's going to get very controversial. The standardized test that we use to have everything advance from one plateau to the next in your kid's life. Yep, it's all a part of that argument. More on that to come. Next, J.D. Pritzker is making the negative kind of news on Mike Madigan's handling of a sexual harassment complaint. J.D. Pritzker is saying the guy that was fired over this, and we'll get into the details again with Pat Brady on this a little bit later on. J.D. Pritzker's comment so far is, I stand with the victim and it shouldn't take that long. Sorry, that's not enough. We're going to need more than that. And let me just give you the last one here. Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer's wake will be on Friday with the funeral following the next morning. The wake will be open to the public 3 to 9 Friday at Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Church, 653 West 37th.
In Bridgeport,
In Bridgeport. Just crushingly sad. So that came first. The school shooting came second. They are ties together between the two of them that show that the Democrats in the state of Illinois are just as gutless as the Republicans in Washington. And, again, we'll get into it in greater depth with Jim Ryan coming up from ABC News first. And then Chuck Todd will join us.
Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Can on the Bauer story, can I just add one quick thing?
What's the one?
Chicago Patrolman's Federal Credit Union. If you go and find one of their locations anywhere in the city, you can make a contribution
to
the family. Yes.
Yeah, very
that's
nice.
New this morning.
Yeah, so that's a very nice thing. And the Chicago Police Department's Memorial Foundation is another great place to contribute.
Absolutely.
If you're so inclined.
Phil Klein is the president of that, too. Former superintendent.
The shooting, the details, because that's what we need to do. Coming up, Top 6 brought to you by those people we talk about all the time, our friends at American Weathermakers.
Florida Attorney General Pamela Bondi has announced the state will pay the cost for the funerals of all of the dead from the Valentine's Day school shooting, as well as other expenses.
We will pay for counseling for the surviving victims. We will pay for students who need counseling.
Governor Rick Scott ordering flags across the state to be flown at half staff through Monday.
That's Ryan Burrow in Florida for ABC News and 720 WGN. Jim Ryan is in Florida covering the story. And Jim, let me know when you're ready to go.
Hi, Steve. Good morning.
And why don't we start? And good morning to you. Why don't we start with the facts so we can catch people up or just waking up?
Well, yes, 17 people, 17 counts of premeditated murder were charged against Nicholas Cruz overnight. He's the 19-year-old suspect in this case, and I think that is a telling charge. It suggests to investigators that, indeed, this was something that had been planned out for some time. How long? We don't know. Investigators do hope to learn that, but they do have a live suspect, a person who is sitting in custody and will be questioned, much like the case in Charleston, the church shooting there. People were able to sit down and question that suspect, and they'll do the same here to try to get at some kind of reasoning for this. Now, I don't know if they're going to find any sort of logical explanation, Scott, but at least they will be able to process this through to put him on trial, perhaps. We don't know what's going to happen, but he has been charged overnight.
Jim, two questions for you, I guess, early on this morning, the aftermath, of course. Number one, was he or was anybody alerted to the fact? I heard some rumblings that there might have been pictures of the suspect on social media with weapons. So were the police kind of given a heads up about that?
Well, no, I don't think they had any indication, at least nothing active that they were working on. He wasn't under suspicion. In fact, he bought the gun legally, the assault-style rifle that was used here yesterday. He purchased using his own name, using his own record. He had no criminal record before this, and so was easily able to make the purchase of this gun that was used yesterday. So, I don't think he was really on the radar of any investigators at any level, but he was on the radar of his classmates. states. People who said that as far back as seventh grade, he had some emotional problems and some violence issues that played themselves out even that many years ago.
There was a student that said that she had, I guess telling police now, again, hindsight 2020, but that he bragged about his guns and his gun collection.
235 or so social media followers is the number that I've heard of kids that and other people that would have seen this and may have been concerned about him. This is the thing we run into with every one of these. When do you talk? When do you say something? When is it just a nut at school versus somebody that could go over the top?
Right.
And unfortunately now, apparently, we're going to have to tell you about everybody we're concerned about and let the police figure it out, because unfortunately that's the world we're living in, Jim.
Right.
I mean, that seems to be the only way. That I just throw a big blanket over people who seem to have problems and let the process play out. You have to wonder whether, and in fact, Scott, maybe since Columbine, even since Jonesboro, since all these other school shootings have happened, have there been some prevented because somebody did say something? Might the statistics be even worse, the death count even higher, had somebody not stepped forward and said something about a Nicholas Cruz sort of person?
Steve Cochran Show, 6:24, talking with Jim Ryan from ABC News. Andrea?
Jim, also wanted to ask you, too, hearing more about the suspect, too, troubled home life, mom had recently passed away.
Yes, from the flu. And he had been living with other relatives. Those other relatives have retained an attorney, and that attorney is saying that there were no real signs that they had, that the people he was living with had, that this kid had any sorts of problems. So, yeah, he did have a troubled home life, a family life that was fractured at best, and apparently some real mental issues, because some of his classmates said that he enjoyed killing small animals, killing rats with BB guns, things like this. And they're looking at that whole thing, trying to paint a picture of this guy.
And the response, too, wanted to ask you about the response. Again, hearing rumblings in the aftermath, and everything will become clear now in the weeks and months ahead. But the response time took several hours before they could get him. Is that correct, too?
Well, it was about a half hour, at least.
Okay.
And he was some distance away. What he did, and that may have been part of his initial plan, first he pulls the fire alarm, gets all the kids out of the hallway, and then opens fire. They'd had a fire drill earlier yesterday, and yet so the second one didn't seem as such a big surprise. Pulls the alarm, kids come out, opens fire, kills them, drops the gun, and then slips into a crowd of students who were fleeing the building, posing, I suppose, as a panicked student. Trying to escape the bloodshed, and yet he was the person who had carried it out. Other students pointed him out to the police. He was captured again about a half hour later.
So it was other kids that ID'd him when he was running.
Well, apparently so, yeah. They obviously knew him. Some of them were former classmates of his. He was expelled here a few months ago, but there were plenty of kids at this school who knew who he was.
The people that are in a hospital that were shot, do we know what state they're in?
Well, we know of at least a couple who are still in critical condition. There were 17 taken to the hospital altogether. Two of them died there at the hospitals in this area. 15 others were dead here inside the school, giving us that count of 17. We do know that some others are still hospitalized in critical condition, and that bears watching.
It's Jim Ryan, ABC News. He's on it in Florida and Parkland. By the way, the town of Parkland, Jim, I heard at some point yesterday, voted in 2017 one of the 100 safest cities in America.
Right, and parents have brought that up. Parents who were just absolutely stunned at this happening yesterday. That was one of the first things they said. How can this happen in a place that's voted one of the safest in the country? And you're right. I mean, you look around here, and there's no indication at all that something like that could happen here. Of course, there never is. There wasn't in Orlando. There wasn't at Sandy Hook. There wasn't in Littleton, Colorado, when Columbine happened.
And you started with this at the top, and I think it's an interesting aspect of this. And again, whatever valuable information we get remains to be seen. But I think you got to go back to the Colorado movie shooting, because I can't remember any other in between where the shooter's still alive.
Well, yeah, I believe there have been. I mean, it's tragic to have to rifle through the files in your mind of all the different shootings that have happened in the intervening time. There have been certainly smaller scale shootings that have happened. You know, if you look at Tucson, the Tucson shooter there, the Gabby Giffords, he lived through it. He went to trial. Both of those guys, James Holmes and the shooter in the Gabby Giffords case, had deep mental issues. They did go on trial, but they really had some serious problems.
Jim, thank you. We'll check back.
Thanks.
It's Jim Ryan from ABC News in Parkland, Florida. And look, if you're a parent and you're sending your kid to school today and you're scared, you know what? You ought to be, because it's just an odds game now. You're just rolling the dice. You think this can't come to Naperville or Northbrook? Or give me something on the south side.
Sure. Shepherd.
Any town.
Sandburg. I mean,
any
schools.
Safe town is not safe as long as guns go into the hands of the mentally ill. And I don't say mentally ill with any sympathy or empathy. There are hundreds of millions of mentally ill people around the world who will never kill another person.
Mm-hmm.
This person chose to do that. I have no sympathy for them. And we will continue in a moment. 6:29 headlines next on 720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show at 6:39, and Chuck Todd is standing by. There are 535 members of Congress. So here's what we do. Boeing 777 can fit them all. Be a tight squeeze, but they could all be fit there. So I'm recommending we have a 777 standby. And for the next shooting, and there will be one, every member of Congress gets on the plane and they fly to where that shooting is. And they look in the face of the people that have lost people they love, or if people in the hospital that were shot, or just have people in their lives that were terrified. And they look them in the eye and they explain why they haven't done anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's too many people in this administration have been taking expensive flights for no good reason. That's a flight that I think has good reason.
I think that's an excellent idea.
6:40, Chuck Todd hosts Meet the Press, the 1947 podcast, and the longest running show on television is Meet the Press. And of course, you can see Chuck on MTP Daily on MSNBC. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Steve.
It's heartbreaking, and nobody needs to feel sorry for us. But I don't have anything new to say here.
No, I mean, it's you would think if you had 18, imagine this, 18 Cessna all crashed.
Yep.
You had 18 Cessna plane crashes, not big plane crashes, 18 of them in the first 45 days of this calendar year. You think there'd be hearings on the Hill? How about 18 malfunctions of a Chevrolet Silverado?
Right.
That caused those trucks to explode.
Right.
You think we'd have hearings on the Hill? We've had 18 school shootings in the first 45 days of this calendar year. Okay? We have a problem. Obviously, there's the mental health issue. But obviously, there's the easy access to a gun when you have a mental health issue.
Right.
Like, we've got to realize you can't talk about one without the other. It just is not possible.
I
don't know what more. Every one of these things, I'm not an FBI profiler. We've all figured this out. Troubled young men. We know what it is. Why are they? Why is it so easy for them to get a gun?
And continues to be. And why is it that the 535 members of Congress, and by the way, the good ones don't get off on this, because guess what? You're not making enough noise either.
Right.
So why is it that the 535 haven't been able to step up against the NRA? Is it because your job is so great and your free trips to other parts of the world and your $185,000 a year is so great that you don't have to look yourself in the mirror in the morning? I don't understand it, Chuck. I don't understand the character that goes with
this. I don't know on conscience and shame. I can't crawl inside. I don't know why they don't feel that. Some of these folks don't feel that. Well, let me just go to the raw politics of it. Until somebody loses an election for having too pro-gun of a position, this is not going to change. That's the issue here, because It has been proven politically toxic to vote for gun control.
But it is a character issue.
Many players.
Listen.
No. I agree that it is. I don't disagree with you. I'm just talking about the raw politics here, Steve. You're asking, when is it going to change? It only changes when somebody's pro-gun position becomes a liability, not an asset.
And, you know, take the AR-15. Okay, because what's the argument going to be? Well, no. It's a slippery slope. I'm going to lose my gun. Stop it. Right. Just stop it.
Right.
No.
There is no threat to the Second Amendment.
Are you aware that the AR-15 is the most, I believe, it is now the number one selling firearm.
1.5 million a year.
Not a handgun. AR-15. There are so many. I mean, There's probably more AR-15s in this country than there are in the Israeli army.
Think about that.
The loopholes are,
similar to it.
The loopholes are sickening. Chuck, we had a press conference with our superintendent a week ago. This is before one of our police commanders was shot and killed by an extended magazine clip by a convicted felon bought illegally, allegedly. But these loopholes, there was one, and Steve, we were talking about this, that a carjacking suspect has to know that the car was stolen in order to be charged with the crime.
That's just outrageous.
No, the gun laws that the NRA has had written in, the little caveats that basically make it so much actually harder to prosecute a gun trafficking crime sometimes because of the extra amount of search warrants and all that. This is the price of us enshrining this in our Constitution, right? You know, when
yeah, but here's the thing, Chuck. It is the thing that drives me nuts. The founding fathers,
that is the difference between us and every other
civilization. No. I get it. But the founding,
they didn't enshrine it. Yeah.
The founding fathers didn't sit around and write the Second Amendment with the idea that someday a mentally ill person should be guaranteed the freedom to shoot up a school. That didn't happen.
Right. No, I give our founding fathers credit. It's amazing how relevant the Constitution remains, how they anticipated so many things. But this is one, it's hard to imagine they knew fully they knew fully the impact of what they were doing on this one, right? This is one where they didn't foresee the technology. They didn't foresee the modernization. They didn't foresee what would happen when people use these against each other in a more consistent manner. And that's what's happening.
And this is why it is so vitally important that you get up and go out and vote in your primaries. Ours is coming up. Is it the 20th of March?
Yes.
On March 20th. And across this country, you have to vote in the primary. You have to, if you want to make a difference, you got to vote in the primary. You got to spend 10 minutes online educating yourself on the candidates on your ballot. And literally, you can do it in 10 minutes.
Early voting is open, by the way, right now. You can vote today.
So it's just outrageous. Sorry about the awkward transition, but I got to switch you to the other part of the stories that are out there today, and that's what's going on in the White House in regards to the defense of the former secretary to the president and whether or not Kelly's going to stay on as chief of staff. Is there anything new there?
Look, the new is what we reported overnight, that as of November, dozens of officials that still were on temporary security clearances, including Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, and Don McGahn, the White House counsel. The point is, there is no way you could be White House counsel without looking at the top secret, most super secret clearance that you need to have. And he didn't have it. And it just shows that there were how many people were getting top secret clearance with temporary status. And you know, look, there's a lot of people focused on the Jared Kushner issue, because he's under investigation, and it appears he's under multiple investigations now, with word that the IRS is now looking into what some investors did. That is a total separate issue from the probe. So, look, we know how we got to this situation, right? How did we get to this situation, Steve? Nobody wants to work for Donald Trump.
Yep.
And the people that do, most of them aren't accepted because they didn't. They were against Donald Trump in the primary, so they're not allowed to be in. So what you're left with are people with questionable backgrounds who couldn't get jobs in previous administrations, some because of competence issues and some because of background check issues. But now, when you're left with sort of the remnants of the C team in the Republican Party, because either you're eliminating good people because they endorsed Ted Cruz, or good people don't want to work for you, this is what you're stuck with. And this is how they got themselves in this situation. Poor staffers applying, poor staffers involved in vetting, and the combination is a lethal mess.
It's easy to lump all the Republicans into this mess in Washington, including obviously the gun story. But Chuck, you called this a year or two ago when we were talking about this. Mike Madigan is the last political boss of any state in the country. And Mike Madigan is now, and we'll get into the facts of this with Pat Brady coming up, but Mike Madigan protected one of his own in a remarkably similar timeline to the Trump-Kelly story as it went on. And this particular individual was finally fired. But Madigan, by all accounts, knew about this going back to November. And the Democrats here in the state legislature continued to protect him.
You know, it's interesting when guys like Madigan finally get fall, right? When they get their comeuppance, whatever it is, it's usually something small in some ways, and small is not the maybe right word, but something, you know, they've been trying to get him in so many other ways, right? And how did they get him? They didn't get him. He got himself, right? His own cockiness, his own hubris, his own belief that he was, that he probably, you know, I run everything in the state of Illinois in Democratic politics. I'll dictate who stays and who goes, right? It's sort of, you get to that sort of, that complex. I think actually John Kelly has a similar complex. You know, I'll be honest. I think so many people overly revere him, or at least in a phony way, because he's a former retired four-star general, that it gives you this complex. And Madigan strikes me as somebody that it's almost like the more people went after him and failed, the more cocky he grew. And when you're that cocky and you think you're indestructible, then you make stupid, bad decisions like he did in protecting his aide.
Has anybody, to bring it back to the beginning here, has anybody stepped up in Congress yet other than the usual suspects to talk about guns?
No, not at all. But let me leave you with this. Best thing that happened yesterday is the president didn't speak. I know there's been all this
conversation.
The president speak? And I'm sitting here going, you know what? What would he have added to the situation?
Right.
He doesn't do empathy well. When he reads off a teleprompter, it doesn't look real. He would not have helped the situation. There's an argument he would have made the situation worse. This is a case where doing nothing might have actually been the right call.
1,000%. Couldn't agree more. It's Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, the tremendous podcast, 1947, which I highly recommend, you know, when you're not listening to the podcast of this show. and, of course, Meet the Press Sunday morning. Thank you, my friend. Lots to talk about on our Vegas trip. We'll frankly not get to it till after 8 o'clock this morning because there's so much news that needs to be discussed before that. But a wonderful trip with some wonderful people, and I hope Las Vegas enjoys the money I left behind.
Me too.
Because I'm an idiot. And I do want to say one thing about flying, because I got back kind of late last night, and I'd like to thank United Airlines for taking 45 minutes to get my bag off the plane. But I got it eventually. But you know, United and all airlines generally now they line up by group number.
Yes.
So by the time group 4 was called, they had run out of overhead space on the plane.
Yeah, that happened with us too.
That's usually how it is.
Okay, so what happens there?
Then take your bag.
They gate check your bag. So what we need to do is make sure that people who have the unfortunate task of greeting passengers as they get on the plane put the hammer down. Say, no, you can't bring lawn furniture on the plane.
God, right?
You can't bring a ride-on lawnmower on the plane.
Yeah.
Because how is it the plane doesn't have enough overhead space for the people that are on the plane?
It's insane. Isn't it ridiculous? And you see people wheeling things and then having a huge duffel bag, too. So there's two giant pieces of luggage.
We live in an alleged civilized society where we all have to share. Think about other people.
Yes.
Think about other people and stop trying to bring on, you know, your trampoline.
Yes.
You know, ship it.
You know Big O's philosophy.
He won't help.
He won't help somebody put their bag. If the bag's too big to get up in the overhead, then don't bring it.
That's a good way to do it. His other piece of advice, which I completely agree with, is don't charge for the space below the plane. Charge for the overheads.
Oh, that's a good point.
Start charging people for what they put in the overhead compartments and then see how much stuff they drag out.
But some airlines are doing that now.
Yeah, in addition to the stuff downstairs. I say you got to pick one or the other.
Pick one.
And your seat.
Pat Brady's here, and good morning to you.
Good morning. I thought big shot celebrities like you had your own jets.
No, actually, that's not true.
Man, but, another myth blown up.
If I hadn't left so much money behind at the casinos in Las Vegas, maybe that could have happened. At 6:57, we'll get into greater detail on all the stories we've already touched on. But I did want to say this. One of the reasons I have such respect for Pat Brady, and he doesn't like when I talk like this, is because when push came to shove, and he was the head of the Republican Party in this state, he stood up and said, we're wrong. We're absolutely wrong. If somebody loves somebody and they want to get married, it ought to be okay. And subsequently, the idiots who ran the Republican Party in this state decided, well, we don't want Pat anymore. So my point being, if you have a political ideology, good for you. If you're a Republican your whole life or a Democrat your whole life, good for you. I fully support that. But you also have to have character. And Pat, I've never seen a time in my adult life where no character has been shown. And this goes for both parties. And no courage has been shown. Because you stepped up because that's who you are. And I would step up, and Andre would step up, and Dave would step up. Why is it the people that get elected are refusing to step up when we need them?
And that's a good question. And I think that there, I do believe in both the here in Illinois and in the United States Congress, there are a lot of good people that really want to do the right thing. And I think it's a complicated question, but I think Chuck hit the nail on the head. Unless somebody actually gets
loses an election
because
supporting guns,
which, and when you're talking about characters, is, and I think we had Sheriff Dart at the Lincoln Forum a couple months ago, and he said none of this will change unless people don't start not caring,
right?
If they get reelected, and that maybe that's the premise. Maybe we need term limits. Maybe we need campaign finance reform. But it certainly seems that now would be a time to stand up and take a leadership position on a very complicated problem. It's not just as simple as eliminating guns. It's a complicated problem, but we need to have people stand up, take a serious look at this. And I agree with Chuck, there'd be hearings tomorrow if 18 Cessnas went down and 18 trains crashed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And now, you know, and that's unfortunate, but we have a Chicago police commander killed in the line of duty by a four-time convicted felon with an illegal gun, you know?
Because Democrats in this state have refused to make sure that gun felons stay in prison.
Right, and look at the picture of this gun. This isn't, you know, a weapon used for hunting. Unless you're
Look, there's no excuse.
You know,
the gun side argument, and I support the Second Amendment.
Sure, me too.
And people who listen to this show who are legitimate Second Amendment supporters are right where you are this morning and I am this morning. They're disgusted and they're sickened by all of this. You can own a gun. You can hunt, you can collect, you can do all of that. But I am so sick of hearing arguments about they're coming to take our guns. No, they're not. Because you don't need an AR-15. You don't need clips and magazines that make it easier for you to shoot again and again and again and again and again. We just came back from Las Vegas. The people of Las Vegas have no idea why a guy was able to break a window in Mandalay Bay and shoot 1,000 people. And this is several months down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We just know another nut had a gun yesterday and could have killed so many more. So here's the great news. Right now in Congress, there's a bill that would go back to the assault weapons ban, because as a citizen, you don't need an assault weapon. You've got your guns. Great. Hunt, you know, sport shoot, do all of that. You do not need, and you should not be legally entitled to an assault weapon. Oh, but I'm never going to break the law. I don't care. Somebody is, and if it's legal for you, it's legal for them. It has to be stopped. Oh, and by the way, also sitting in Congress are two other bills. One to block, keep this in mind, block the ability to stop the sale of bump stocks. The exact piece of equipment used to make sure that this nut in Vegas could shoot all those people. And there's another law floating around in Congress to make silencers legal for all guns.
This,
it's mad.
Imagine a silencer yesterday.
Yeah, what's the?
You would have shot 1,000 kids.
Mm-hmm. It's beyond stupid. But the National Rifle Association's most powerful lobby probably in the history of the country. And the thought of going against them for a lot of these folks, they might end up losing. So that's another problem. It's not a simple answer,
man.
But
I don't get it. Yep. I don't get how your $200,000 job and the perks are more important than a kid that got shot and killed yesterday. I don't know how you live with yourself.
Well, yeah, and it's not like this is the Sandy Hook. I mean, all these, I think the Democrats actually controlled the House and the Senate back then and the presidency. It's on both sides.
Oh, there's no question.
And but maybe yesterday's a tipping point. I'm not confident it is, but maybe it is.
It's time for, we got another break, right? Quick break before the news. We'll come back and then we'll continue with this. By the way, joining us in a few minutes, Kathleen Sands is president and CEO of the Illinois Gun Violence Prevention PAC. We'll explain, and she'll explain what she does and why we think you need to hear from her today as well as we continue on 720 WGN. At 7:15, just ahead of another traffic update, and Andrea telling you what's coming up at the bottom. I'm going to get Pat Brady in here. Pat, tell everybody where you work, if you would, please.
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
All right. So a lot of the discussion in state politics is going to be in and around the Me Too moment and movement, and a woman who was sexually harassed by someone in Mike Madigan's world. Mike Madigan, by all accounts, appeared to have known this last November. This is great reporting by the Chicago Tribune, by the way, which opened this up. Pearson will be on in a little bit as well. But who is this person who was doing the sexual harassing?
Susie, he was a part of the Madigan organization, the 13th Ward, a brother of the alderman. And the series of texts, like 75 texts that were made available to the alderman. And then in November, in February of 2017, in November of 2017, this young woman wrote a handwritten letter to the speaker and sent it to his house. And the question is, what did he know and when? But it took Cook. The story broke on Monday, and on Sunday, the speaker did a press conference announcing that staffer that had sent these texts and had actually in the that year of 2017 was also arrested on a domestic violence charge, that he announced that this guy was going to be dismissed. So the question is, what did he know and when, and why is chairman of the Illinois Democratic Party and Speaker of the House, you didn't act
swiftly,
faster?
Well, and I can also tell you that as a matter of courtesy and journalistic ethics, when you're about to break a news on someone, you give them one last chance to comment or quote. So I guarantee you that Mike Madigan or his people got a call that said, we're going with this story tomorrow.
Yeah,
Do you have anything you want to add? He didn't, and then he had the press conference.
Yeah, they deny that, of course, but this has been swirling around for a couple of weeks beforehand. But another additional facet to this is this young woman who did this press conference and has made these allegations, said all I wanted to do is work on a political campaign. So I went after I had told the management of the Madigan organization about what this guy was doing, which was pretty egregious. She goes, I just want to work on this campaign. They blackballed her. They told her this, that they weren't working on this particular campaign. They wouldn't hire her back. So there's a retaliatory.
And what's the statute of limitations piece of the story?
Well, I'm not completely familiar with this. From what I understand, for EEOC complaint, it's 300 days. So they pushed this investigation, which they found out about November, which would have been in the statute, beyond the 300 days. So she lost one of her causes of action relating to sexual harassment. There are other claims she can bring, and the EEOC needs to issue a letter, and we'll see what happens from that.
But
a lot of bad facts.
We as reporters don't get a press release from House Speaker Michael Madigan. Very rarely will you get a press release from his office unless there's damage control being done.
And was
so
there
when
Sunday?
We saw this, yeah, well, we saw this press release come out over the weekend where he said we took action. We found out about this. I thought, okay.
Well, these are bad facts. And what happened when he got the letter? He sent his lawyer to go talk to the young woman. They met at a coffee shop, and according to what the young woman said, I think this has been confirmed in the reports. Madigan's lawyer just said, "What do you want? $25,000 settlement, or do you want to be on the front page of Chicago Tribune? I can do that for you right now." And if you see her statement and watch her press conference, that's not what she wanted. She just wanted this guy to leave her alone, and she wanted to work in the career that she had chosen. So it's classic sexual harassment, sexual intimidation. The question is, why did it take so long?
Right. Well, the other question for me is, where are the women, the Democratic women of this state, screaming about this?
And
I mean all of them. Where are the Democratic women? This story's been out now for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, it broke
Sunday, Monday?
Monday, the press conference.
Yeah. All right, so this is the fourth day. Where are the Democratic women of this state standing up and saying, I'm outraged by this, I want answers?
You think of the courage of this young woman, too. She's working in this organization where the litmus test to get in is loyalty. And she broke that code because she just didn't want to be sexually harassed.
Right.
Now, apparently, she's been blackballed, and she'll never work in Democratic politics again. And she stood up and publicly told the story, which I know had to be very difficult for her if you watched it. And the question is, what's going to be done?
Mm-hmm. And as always, Speaker Madigan, if you'd like to disprove anything that's just been said, the open invitation is now in its 1,088th show. You have the number. And Pat Brady's here. Rick Pearson will join us shortly as well. But I'd like you to meet Kathleen Sanchez. And Kathleen, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Am I close?
It's perfect.
All right. Kathleen Sanchez is the president and CEO of the Illinois Gun Violence Prevention PAC. This is the crucial word. This is gun violence prevention. My understanding is that the PAC hopes to raise money to support candidates who are willing to stand up and not be cowards about this issue. Is that it?
That is right. We were formed in 2013 by victims of survivors of gun violence who wanted to counter the influence of the gun lobby, and particularly in Springfield.
Are you a partisan group that supports one party over the other?
No, we are not. We are a nonpartisan group.
So any Republican or Democrat who is willing to stand up and be courageous enough to say, look, I don't need your NRA help or money, and if it costs me my job, so be it, you'll be willing to help them.
Right. We want to be here. If they're courageous enough to do that, then we're going to be here to make sure they keep their job.
I don't know if you're interested, but I am also hoping to have a Boeing 777 standby in Washington. So the next time this happens, and we all know it will, all 535 members of Congress will have to fly to the shooting site and look the victims in the eyes, the surviving victims, and the families of those who died, and explain why they don't do anything. Because I'm tired of it, Kathleen, like we all are.
Yeah, why do families have to continue to suffer like this? And even, you know, here in Chicago with the commander this week, that was a felon with a gun.
A four-time convicted felon.
Yeah, and we should be able to stop that, and we can stop it.
With an extended magazine, Kathleen, which, again, I don't
the gun is ridiculous.
Anybody needs that sort of a gun.
Nobody
You're not going to use that to hunt.
Nobody needs that gun.
You're specifically pushing legislation in Springfield to pass what's called the Gun Dealer Licensing Act. I want you to explain this. And personally, I'm very surprised that a law this commonsensical wasn't already in the books.
Right. I mean, these are simple safety precautions that would require gun dealers just to track who's buying guns, keep transparent inventory records, allow inventories, make sure that everybody working in their store has a background check, a FOID card, or a concealed carry license, and are trained to spot people who are buying guns for somebody else. Because it's a problem. 40% of the guns that are used in crimes in Chicago are bought right here in Illinois. 7 stores, and 6 of them are in Cook County. So
40%.
40%. And every gun dealer has to get a license from the ATF, but they don't have the resources and they don't have the legal authority to do anything when a gun dealer is corrupt.
It doesn't even connect. It's one of those things where you go, no, that can't be right. But it is right. How does that even, there's no sense about that.
No. So we passed this bill out of the Senate in April, and it was on a bipartisan vote, I'm very pleased to say. And we're working really hard, and we hope to get it out this session. And we're close.
Who is helping with it, a legislator or legislators that you'd like to give a little credit to?
Sure. In the Senate, Senator Don Harmon of Oak Park, he carried this bill for 15 years and was, you know, just persistent and was able to get it out of his chamber. And Kathleen Willis, State Rep District 77, has been our champion in the House. And we have probably about 30 other co-sponsors on this bill.
I would argue that that Republicans and Democrats are all parents. Gun violence, these stats that you sent us, Kathleen, gun violence is the third lead. This isn't a political issue. Gun violence is the third leading cause of death for children in the United States. Third leading cause.
But did you know that injuries from gun violence is the number one cause of death to children in Illinois?
It's just outrageous. It's ridiculous. Pat, say hi to Kathleen.
Hey, Kathleen. Where's the speaker on this bill?
Well, this bill was previously, it was in a different format. It was House Bill 1016, and when it did a run through, he voted for it.
And where is he now? Is he helping?
Well,
I mean, if we know that nothing gets to the floor without him, it's great that he voted for it the first time. But now that we're trying to make this official, get it into law and have the governor sign it, where is he?
Well, I think that when we get to 60 and we're very close, that we're very encouraged that he's going to call the bill.
All right. If he doesn't, I'd like to know. Because I'd be happy to announce.
You'll be the first person I call.
I hope you will, because I'd be happy to announce his name and anybody else that's getting in your way of something that we so desperately need. What's the website for your group?
www.gpacillinois.com.
I really appreciate your work. Thank you for standing up and doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Kathleen Sances standing up for victims of gun violence here. And again, this ain't a Republican thing. This ain't a Democrat thing. Democrats have stood in the way of keeping felons in prison in this state forever and putting felons back out on the street like this coward that killed one of the finest Chicago cops you're ever, ever, ever going to see
That's
or
right.
meet. And it's not just about Paul Bauer. It's about these kids in Florida as well and everybody that's been the subject of this. So the Republican failures in Washington, the Democrat failures in Illinois. You deserve better, and frankly, you better demand better, because they're not going to deliver for you until you do.
You know, we're forgetting to mention, too, there's a guy that shot a bunch of congressmen. Too, you think the baseball player, right. Cleese.
Right. Right. We were saying off the air, you need to show a driver's license to buy Sudafed and have to stand there for 10 minutes while they run it through. I mean, these loopholes, this is common sense.
That's just a nonsense about, well, I shouldn't have to go through the extra hassle of waiting. I shouldn't have. It's a friggin' gun. Guess what? If you got to jump a couple of extra hurdles, so what? 7:31, back with your headlines next on 720 WGN. Back on the Steve Cochran Show on one of the more difficult days that we have had for you to listen. And we appreciate your support because, once again, we have a colossally obnoxious, nauseating gun violence situation where at least 17 are dead in a Florida high school shooting yesterday. We'll continue to talk about it throughout the morning. But again, I want to thank Kathleen Sanchez, president and CEO of the Illinois Gun Violence Prevention PAC, for what she's doing. And she was on just a few moments ago. All of this, including the Chuck Todd comments earlier, will be on, as they always are, on podcast. And if they're not up already, they'll be up in minutes. You can go to WGNradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts and pick them up there. And you also can get podcasts of The Sunday Spin, hosted by the finest political writer in America, political reporter in America. There's a distinction. And he's my friend Rick Pearson every Saturday, Sunday morning. Almost expanded you to 2 days. Every Sunday morning from 7 to 10. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I mentioned this on the air. I don't know if you heard it, but I just want to congratulate the Chicago Tribune on great reporting in exposing the hypocrisy of the Me Too movement's miss by Mike Madigan and company. None of this would have been public if not for the Tribune. So, again, great reporting.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an important story. It's an interesting story with several kind of dynamics here at play. And I think, too, it even goes to the point of, with the Me Too movement, that you have places where it's not just you can go to human resources to file a complaint. In political campaigns, there is no human resources. And what do you do if you're caught in that kind of an issue? Who do you go to? And I know this will be part of what the legislature's task force is going to be looking at, are creating more distinct lines and boundaries and communications for people who are harassed.
Is there a reason they're slow rolling this as well? I mean, this seems to me like it'd be a priority and they'd express line it.
Well, I mean, back in November, the legislature moved very quickly, and in fact, that was orchestrated by Madigan to try to create some laws, but in their haste, many legislators on both sides say that there are so many areas that have been left untouched in their, you know, rules, like lobbyists and legislators and staffers have to undergo sexual harassment training. You know, it's mandated. But in their haste to act quickly, they've left vast areas of the law untouched, and that's the next step.
Hey, Rick, Pat, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, and I agree what you're saying on there's no processes for in the political world. There certainly wasn't any when I was chairman here or even at the RNC. But beyond that, isn't there some accountability for the people that this young woman went to and told them about the allegations? And these aren't like, this isn't a close call. There were 75 texts. And is there, you think, going to be political accountability for the people that didn't do anything in this instance?
Well, I mean, you have the fact of you have the alderman that she went to and complained that it was his brother that's harassing her. There's that issue of whether, you know, she asked that this information not be disclosed, which is something that the alderman says that's what she requested. I don't know, and, you know, Pat, you're a lawyer, I'm not. I don't know, is 3 months too long to conduct an investigation? There's actually the fact that Madigan went internally to a lawyer to conduct an investigation rather than go externally and to have an outside law firm kind of do it to create some kind of sign of independence here? I think that's a significant question.
Well, but there's a question that came up about the reporting, too, which troubles me, because on Sunday, this is just a matter, and correct me if I'm wrong, but every time I've ever come across stuff like this, and I certainly know how ethically upright you are, a reporter will pick up the phone and call the subject of a story and say, this is what I'm going with tomorrow. Do you have any comment or quote? But I'm telling you, this is what's going to be in the newspaper tomorrow. I certainly assume that happened sometime over the weekend, and then suddenly we have a press release from Mike Madigan, who doesn't put out press releases for anything.
Right, and you had the fact that Ms. Hampton said basically that if she hadn't gone public, she personally doubted whether any action would have been taken by the speaker. So when the speaker comes out preemptively before the story to say, I've done X, Y, and Z, of course that raises a great deal of questions. And here again, the response from the Madigan people is, oh, no, that story, that we acted independently of the story. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I think people can make their own judgment. Yeah,
exactly. I think she did everything right. She wrote the letter. She did everything right. She went through the proper channels. What's troubling me, Rick, and you've traveled in political circles, obviously, for years, covering all of this, but the term that she's being blackballed, her career is on the rocks, she did the right thing. Won't someone else kind of snatch her up and say, hey, you know, come work for me. Let's do this.
Well, in fact, she is working for a Cook County commissioner candidate right now. And I think as much as she wanted to stay in the Madigan organization, there are plenty of political organizations that I think will take care to make sure that she stays employed.
Hey, Rick, I totally get the politics of this, and it's probably not fair of me to ask you this question, but I'll just...
Go ahead, ask him anyway.
Well, I'm not going to add, but here's the deal. I was on the Republican National Committee, and I was doing some work for them 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and some allegations came to me. Three women were complaining about sexual harassment, much less egregious than these texts and what we've seen here.
And this is about somebody...
This is about someone higher up harassing young women. This guy was gone in 12 hours. So this theory or this narrative that the Democrats are putting out that this required a lengthy investigation or 3 months was plenty of time is just a bunch of nonsense to me. I mean, and I guess my question to you is do you think, is there going to be any political accountability for this down the road?
Well, I think so. And I think our follow-up story where, you know, the fact that this is, here's Mike Madigan, who for 4 years has been under a barrage of attacks from, partisan attacks from Governor Rauner, now... You've got this Me Too movement, the renewed women's rights movement. He's got a caucus that of his 67 members, 34 of them are women among the House Democrats. I mean, I think there's certainly going to be some very strong internal tensions here. Is this enough to take Madigan out of his speakership? I'm not so sure. But I do think, you know, this is something that people, Democrats, Republicans, women, men, everybody's going to look at this and say, is this right?
And I brought up the fact that we've heard a whole lot of silence, in particular from Democratic women. It's not just up to the women, but where are the women specifically speaking out to this and defending this woman, or at least jumping on the fact that this is somebody who deserves a defense?
Well, you know, here again, I think there's a lot of internal things going on that aren't necessarily something. There's a lot of discussion going on.
It's a lot of CYA, or is my term not yours, but is internal discussion translated into political slow walking CYA?
I don't consider it slow walking. I think it's internal discussions about what's the next step here.
Yeah, but see, this is the part, and you know, Rick, you know me. We've been friends forever. This is where my head explodes because this is what Pat just said. It takes no time to say I was sexually harassing and texting Andrea. She's upset about it. The manager calls us both in one at a time and says, "What did you do? What did you do?" And a decision is made. You don't need 90 days to figure that out.
No,
especially in a business that doesn't have an HR department.
Well, and look at the issue of State Senator Ira Silverstein, who was accused of sexual harassment. And there, you had a lengthy state inspector general report that went on there, too. And here you had, and I'm not defending anybody, but I'm saying the inspector general in the case said, you know, you have to, there is a due process issue here, and that's what took time to work through. Now, yes, I mean, we know what common sense dictates. I mean, we know that. Unfortunately, common sense doesn't always translate into government.
What? It's brand new information. What do you want to plug, Sunday?
I've got State Senator Bill Brady on. He is the Republican Senate leader.
He's the better-looking Brady.
The bar is very low there.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
But we'll be talking about Governor Rauner's budget as well as the path forward for Republicans going into the 2018 election.
By the way, the House is not meeting now or anytime soon. Well, there's nothing to talk about, obviously. We got a budget speech yesterday. Got a budget that needs to be approved. You got this issue, but everybody's not working.
Hey, Rick, all the beer you want at the Goat when it opens if you call Bill Pat.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Oh, that's true. I just said something off the air I can't say on the air, but you all know it's true.
Are we done with the show meeting?
Yeah, it's okay. Show meeting.
Okay.
It's 7:55. Pat Brady is here. Pat, how much does it cost if I want to buy a congressman? Is it $2,800? Is that the...
It depends on the district. I think they're cheaper in Louisiana.
What if I have like a Groupon? Can I get two? Are they 50% off? Here's the thing. Everybody wonders, how much does it cost to throw away your conscience, your name, your reputation? What is it worth? Because for people that don't swim in this pool, they got to be thinking, boy, those jobs must be something else. Because not only am I not going to stand up and say common sense things about another gun tragedy in this travesty, not tragedy, in this country, I'm going to go to work today and act like I'm a good person and nothing happened.
Right. Well,
so what do you get? Is it massages all day long? Is it hot and cold running shrimp and wine and champagne? Why is this job so special that people throw away everything in regards to their reputation?
And that's a great question. But the good news is we live in a republic where we can get to the polls and vote and choose people that are going to represent our interests. So I know you've been pushing this the last month, and make America vote again. If you don't like it and you don't like that you think they're being cowards, then get out and vote.
Why is it so important to vote in a primary?
Because in a lot of races, the primary is the only race, because the districts are so gerrymandered. The only vote you're really going to get in that district is it might just be a Democrat or Republican.
We talked about this last week, Pat, too. I've had friends say, I don't want to have to declare. I don't want to pick Republican or Democrat. I just want to vote for everybody. Will we ever be, and we've talked about this many times, will we ever be at that point?
Yeah, but we need an open primary where you don't have to declare. At least you don't have to register.
It's been argued before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it came up a couple years ago, and I think that's something that both parties should get behind.
This mentally deranged individual was able to go out and buy a gun legally, buy all the ammunition he needed, and go into the school yesterday and kill 17 with at least two more still in critical condition who may lose their lives as well. And if you think this isn't coming to Naperville or St. Charles or Orland Park or New Lenox or Schaumburg or Northbrook or Arlington Heights, think again. We are just rolling the dice. We're just playing the odds. As long as we continue to let cowards control our lives, whether they be Democrats in Illinois, Republicans in Washington. By the way, it's not just the Republicans in Washington. There's centrist to even conservative-leaning Democrats. We're taking a whole boatload of NRA money. So I don't let any of them off the hook. They're all in the same basket of deplorables. Meanwhile, everybody that stands up today and goes, we don't need any new gun laws. Yeah, actually we do. Because all those gun arguments are just fine. Yes, enforce the laws that are on the book. There's no question the law should be enforced. Don't let people who have committed gun crimes and felons back out on the street. Just don't let it happen. No, you can't prevent every one of these. No, there's no way to legislate perfect. It's not going to happen. But don't sit here and tell me that your Second Amendment rights are in danger. These cowards couldn't vote for the sky being blue. They're not going to take away your gun. They're going to at some point either get out or have the balls to stand up and say, we are going to make sure that AR-15s are not in the hands of mentally ill people, or we're not, just as a starter.
I second that. Amen.
I third it.
What's coming up in the coming days politically that we need to keep an eye on? As a matter of fact, you know what I want to know before you go? We haven't said a word. Rick mentioned it about Rauner's budget speech. I just saw a little bit of it. It looked very positive.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. I think it was even, there's people that don't like it, but there were people, even Democrats, that said this is probably the best budget he's presented. It's balanced. It actually has a surplus in it. And well, I think it lays a good framework. I get not everybody agrees with that, but I think it's the best of the ones he's proposed. It's a surplus, and it's got some changes and reforms in it we need, and hopefully we can get something done. We do not need another budget battle.
You're going to be on Channel 9 primary eve, but yes. Again, the registration, if you have a driver's license, in all likelihood you're registered, because when you renew your driver's license, you're asked about. It's just impossibly easy to make sure you're registered. So now it's up to you to actually get out and vote. Primary is when?
Primary is March 20th.
Yeah. March early 20th. Voting's already started.
Yep.
And early voting's underway now. So please take a part in your civic duty of getting out and voting and stopping some of this madness, at least as much as we can for now. Pat, I appreciate your time. We are giving away Elton John tickets, and you can't win them.
Sorry.
So once again, your payment for being here is thanks. So, appreciate it.
You're welcome. See you guys.
Thank you. Dean's coming up. News first after this on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
813.
You know I love you more than what I should.
The Steve Cochran Show. We'll continue with the horrific news of the day, but let's all kick back, take a break, and talk about the world of Dean Richards, unless you want to hear about Vegas.
Which is also horrific.
You want to hear about Vegas?
I would love to hear about it and see whatever photos you may have taken.
Well, I was offered a gig. Did I tell you this, Andre?
No. Wait, was this when we got lost at the arena?
No, 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 no. There's a new Cirque du Soleil show called Zero Flexibility.
Oh.
It's Cirque du Soleil Zero Flexibility. It's just people that really have no flexibility anymore, and they want me to star.
Isn't it where you sit in the seat and they just kind of dump water on your head like the Flashdance girl?
Yes.
That sounds too strenuous for you.
Yes. There was a really scary traffic accident in L.A. yesterday that involved a couple of big names. Tell us about it.
Well, a Ferrari was driving on one of the freeways in L.A., and three cars actually got into an accident. The driver of the Ferrari was actually killed. Inside of that Ferrari also was pro golfer Bill Haas.
Yep, Bill Haas, yeah.
He was injured, but will be okay. What kind of makes this a showbiz story is that also in one of the cars was Luke Wilson, brother of Owen Wilson.
And this is a separate car.
This is there were three cars that were involved.
So you got the Ferrari with Bill Haas and the guy who passed.
And the guy who passed.
And then another car is Luke Wilson, and a third car is just somebody else?
Luke Wilson in one who was hit but not injured. The third car flips over on its sides, is smoking and burning. Luke Wilson rushes into this burning car and pulls the woman out of the car, who was, you know, I don't know if she was unconscious or just not able to get out or in shock or, you know, whatever. But Luke Wilson kind of saving the day for this woman.
How about that?
Yeah.
Gia Louis-Dreyfus is in the news. Is she okay?
She is apparently quite well. She she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She revealed that. Last fall, she's been going through, has completed chemotherapy, and last week had a surgical procedure, did not say what kind of surgical procedure, but yesterday on her Twitter account, she posted what she calls her first post-op photo, and it's, sort of this airbrushed, very glam shot. looking like Beyonce, like
that's
the wind
fantastic.
Is blowing her hair. She said that the surgery was successful. She's feeling very happy and ready to rock. And then at the end added, hey, cancer, bleep you.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
When we come back, though, Dean, let's talk. Well, one more. Ryan Murphy.
Oh, Ryan Murphy, you know, who has created so many amazing shows, mostly for Fox or for FX. Some Fox platform has moved to Netflix.
Is that right?
As Shonda Rhimes has also moved to Netflix. That's where all the cool kids are going right now.
They have big trucks of money, and they come to your house and drop it off.
They actually have dump trucks and will pull up right on your front door.
Filled with hundreds.
Dump money right on your door. Ryan Murphy gave us Glee, an American Horror Story. And wow, go down the list of amazing projects that he has produced.
Is he involved with Cirque du Soleil, the No Flexibility show?
I don't think so. I think that's the one project that he is not involved in.
Cirque du Soleil, Zero Flexibility.
I know that show is involved with the Cirque du Soleil show that I was involved
in. What was it?
That was called Le Smoking Fat Guy. It's a Canadian show. I don't even think it ran here in the U.S.
No, yeah, house seats for it, no, though.
I can't say that I saw it.
Right.
Yeah. Why did you have shaving cream all over your head today? I was looking up, and there on TV was famous Dean Richards, and his whole head was covered with shaving cream.
Not just shaving cream, but shaving cream with cheese balls stuck to the shaving cream.
Obviously, covering the news is only Channel 9's morning news can.
We have been doing our own Olympic Games here this week.
Oh, yeah. This is with all the other radio stations except ours. I forgot to thank you guys for that.
Oh, no. We did include WGN today. We had Justin Kaufman. And,
I wonder how that happened.
Violetta Podramedic, whose name I mispronounced. Imagine that.
I like to call her Zippity Doodang.
Yeah.
And that just comes
I would have done better
up.
With that than that's. But the way that today's competition worked was we would have invited you.
Yeah. Our invitation must have been lost.
Well, no, we were out of town.
We've been turned down. Yeah. Well, you guys have been out of town.
Oh,
but
right.
The people who do morning shows can't come and do our morning show.
Right. No, I'm not talking about us. I'm just saying that we should be included in something that has the word radio on it.
Oh, yeah, WGN, definitely. Mm-hmm. I even mentioned that we're the new radio home for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, we share the same boss, too.
Nice.
Yes, we do.
The famous Paul Rennie. Did you want to suck up to Paul right now? I don't want to step on that if you want to do that.
You mean the very handsome Paul Rennie?
That's the guy I'm talking about.
That's the one that I'm talking about.
Paul Rennie.
The multi-talented Paul Rennie.
Genius negotiator who brought the White Sox.
Brought the White Sox. Exactly right.
There you go.
So what we did was we lathered up our heads. And in my case, I got plenty of it in shaving cream. And then our partner threw cheese balls at our face. And whoever had the most cheese balls, you know, cheese curls, you know, like, but they're balls, cheese balls. Whoever had the most stuck to their heads at the end of the competition was the winner.
Who won?
I think I'm glad we were not able to participate.
Yeah, me too.
This.
Who won?
Paul Conrad was supposed to be in charge of counting the balls.
Yeah.
And
that's going to end up on Nick's show, by the way. That'll be Friday night with Nick.
Oh, Dean.
And Paul was not able to. He
couldn't keep up with the new math?
He just didn't feel like doing it.
Now, that's probably closer to true.
I think that's. He just thought, well, this is way too much work.
Ran out of fingers and toes. Yeah.
Wait, did you cover Violetta's cute little head in shaving cream?
No.
No, because that wouldn't have been good.
The women were the throwers and the men
were. Yeah,
that
makes sense. That makes sense.
But Justin Kaufman, who also has a fairly significant amount of forehead, as I do, he was totally. Cover too. Have you seen that commercial that for what's the candy that where the kid goes? I've got.
And he ends up with Skittles or something.
Pop or something. That is candy. That's what we wound up.
That was
with.
The inspiration for
nice.
It, probably. Huh?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And I was inspired after doing this for next Super Bowl. I'm going to do exactly the same thing, except wipe onion dip all over my head.
Oh,
and toss chips
with chips stuck to me, and then just walk around the party, and people can take a little chip and dip right off of my head.
So you're a waiter,
so they would guacamole instead.
Guacamole would be equally sticky and colorful.
Yep.
The chips you throw them like what is it? Chinese throwing stars? What is the throwing stars?
Oh yeah, the Chinese stars.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. You could. They started off very
those have
politely.
Blades, though.
They were throwing.
Oh, chips are sharp.
Throwing the cheese balls one at a time at first, and then at one point, my partner, Sarah Jindra, just threw the whole bowl of cheese balls at me.
There you go, Sarah. She's got it down.
Yeah.
When we come back, the shady in show business, Kanye, Scott Baio, and Tommy Lee. Separate stories, all in the news. And Elton John tickets, not shady at all. Details on that, too, coming up on 720 WGN.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
I have a pair of Elton John tickets. Don't call yet. Farewell Yellow Brick Road, the tour at the Allstate Arena on February 15th and 16th of next year, because this February is already over. Get tickets starting this Friday.
Let's not over entirely.
Go ahead.
Oh, honey, if I get restless.
I thought it was, oh, honey, if I get electrocuted. That was wrong, I guess.
Sing with me, Steve.
Don't go breaking my heart.
You take the weight off of me.
I forgot where we were in the song.
We're trying to give away tickets.
Honey, when you knocked on my door.
Oh, I got it. Ooh, I gave you my key. Well, you were already knocking on the door. You had a key.
Nobody knows it.
Huh? Who paid for this show?
When I was down.
While you listen to Dean continue, get tickets starting this Friday at 10 a.m. at EltonJohn.com. These concerts will literally be 1 year from today and tomorrow.
Right from the start, I gave you my...
Slap
Not
yourself.
To let people get this out of their head. That's good.
I gave you my heart.
What are people in the newsroom at Channel 9 doing right now?
I hope they're not doing some really serious story on the camera.
312-981-7200. I got a pretty good question for you. I don't think Dean knows the answer to this. I'd be surprised if anyone knows the answer to this. Okay? Elton John is the godparent to the sons of two very famous people. Mm. Who are the celebrities? Elton John, godparent to the sons
I think I know
of
this.
Two very famous people. First person to answer that correctly, Joe, will be a big winner of Elton John tickets, where Dean will open. No. Dean will open for Elton John.
Yeah.
All right, let's
call
go.
Call anyway.
Let's
try to win tickets anyway.
You know what would be funny? The funniest part of that visual is I'm your background singer.
You were my Kiki D.
Yeah. Oh, boy. What's the Kanye West news?
Well, Kanye West, you'll recall, was on that Pablo tour not long ago. And he had to stop because he had what was being called a nervous breakdown. Lloyd's of London was insuring the show. And Kanye wanted $10 million because he said that he was do that because it was part of the terms of the insurance agreement with Lloyd's of London. Mm-hmm. Lloyd's disagreed with that and said that he had the nervous breakdown because he was allegedly using drugs. Lloyd's was unable to prove that claim and, according to TMZ yesterday, settled with Kanye for the $10 million. They decided that they would rather not go to court. And
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So Kanye didn't work, and he said he was still entitled to the money?
Well, I think the terms of the insurance agreement was that if for some reason the tour was not able to
That
Lloyd's would pay off.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think it was specifically... Well, apparently it was specifically about Kanye because they were trying to say that it was because of drug abuse.
This reminds me of... Do you remember when Mariah Carey got $120 million to no longer record for, I think it was Arista?
Yes, I contributed to that.
Yeah, they paid her like $120 million. I think it was Arista. But one of the record labels said, here's $120 million, never make a record for us again. And I, at that point, Dean, as you know, offered to do the same for $100,000. I said, I won't record for you for $100,000. I'll save a lot of money.
Yeah. That's a good deal when you get that kind of money to do nothing.
Scott Baio is in big trouble.
Another former cast member from the show Charles in Charge has stepped forward and claimed abuse now against the former 80s star. This time it is he was between 12 and 14 years of age, Alexander Polinsky, when he says that Baio exposed himself to him, used homophobic slurs, and verbally harassed him on the set. Last week, Nicole Eggert, who was on the show, said that that Baio began a sexual relationship with her when she was a minor. Baio is denying all the allegations, and he says he will vehemently fight all of these to the very end, that they are all untrue. So, whoever you believe.
Ugly, ugly story. And Tommy Lee's engaged.
Tommy Lee, congratulations to the former Motley Crue, probably the most famous guy in Motley Crue. He got engaged yesterday to a woman who is... Let me see if I can find the age difference here quickly. There is a 30-year age difference.
So does she know who Motley Crue is?
does she know who Tommy Lee is?
Yeah, they stopped touring probably when she was five?
A little while
six,
ago.
Six, seven?
Yeah, a little while ago.
Graduated high school?
So the woman's 80?
He's 55, and she is, I believe
30 years that way.
She's 25.
She's like 25. He's 55.
You think she saw the video?
She's like, Motley who?
You know the video? Did you ever see the video?
Which one?
I've seen the video.
The porn video? Oh, snippets of it. For news purposes.
I wouldn't use the word snippets, to be honest with you.
Sorry. Yeah. Strictly word, for work.
Not
purposes.
The word that came to my mind either.
Yeah.
Formerly married to Heather Locklear and Pamela Anderson.
Heather Locklear? Whatever happened to her? Locklear.
I don't know.
She's back with Jack Wagner, I think.
Is she?
She
aww.
Was.
That's nice. Oh, Jack Wagner.
Yeah. That's nice. All right, on that happy note, we'll get back to the disaster that is today. One more. One
oh,
more for
no.
Dean.
It's a little bit funny.
See, if we're going to harmonize, I need to go higher or lower.
This feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide.
Get ready, Dave. This is your song, Dave. Get ready. Go. This is Dave's song. He's got this, man.
I'd buy a big house.
Where we both could live. Steve, I prefer the oral interpretation reading more than the singing.
Andrea is holding up the judging. She put up a 4, and she's now dropped it to 0.
I wasn't expecting it.
Or a man
here it comes.
Who makes potions in a traveling show.
Hold on 1 second. I want to see if anyone else is listening still. Is there anyone still listening?
The White Sox just called.
Reinsdorf coming on to announce the deal's off. All right, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Matt's Dean back with the headlines next on 720 WGN. I'll tell you who the winner is in a moment. Jenny was the winner of the Elton John tickets. Famous godchildren of Elton John, Damian Hurley, son of Elizabeth Hurley, who, by the way, looks remarkably like his mom. Two sons to David Beckham and his wife, Sad Spice.
Posh.
And Sean Lennon. Son of John Lennon.
Oh, okay. There you
so,
go.
Godparents of all. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, it's 8:42. And Coach Q. And that famous laugh.
I wish you could see mine. Yeah, you talk about your woman. I wish you could see mine.
I have no idea whose song this is. But Coach Q is all about the Who, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And Coach Q, thank you for being on the program once again. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do you know that song?
I you know what? I'm not sure. I don't know if it sounds like Tommy, but I'm not sure.
It does sound like Tommy. Is that from Tommy, Joe? It is from Tommy. We're getting confirmation. By the way, Coach, Joe Romano, now a new member of the staff. And Coach is going to come by your house, Joe, and shake your hand to congratulate you. But you can do it on the air, Coach, if you'd prefer.
There you go.
Thanks, Coach.
He's obviously fired up. Listen, you know how much I appreciate having you on the show, but I struggle for the first time in what to talk to you about because I know how hard you guys are working to figure this out. And what am I going to bring up that's new that you haven't heard in the past 24 hours or 48 or 72?
Well, you were out in Vegas there, and it was nice to see the building with so many Hawk fans there, and for 40 minutes it was going pretty good. And, we had a tough start to begin the third, and that was kind of it. But it was that's a good story, Vegas, and we had a lot of positives going in that game. It's been a tough stretch for us here, a tough road trip as well. Had some two tough starts there, and really didn't get ourselves back in it the way we'd liked in the last two. And then that game looked like we liked a lot of things we were doing in that game, and against a good team. So it was some positives that come out of the game. Right now, we're starting to get, every guy's been coming in here and now getting excited for tonight. Whether it's enthusiasm, whether it's getting ourselves thinking that, hey, let's move ahead here and let's look forward here. A lot of hockey left here, and find a way to get something rolling here in the right way. And instead of thinking on the negative side of things here, try to be positive and then look at it that way.
You played a lot of years in the NHL, and I'm sure you had bad stretches at a team. What is it like in a player's head when you go through this and you know you're better than this?
I think everybody has, whether it's a confidence thing or you're just, it's like, okay, I think you gotta find ways to find ways to have like short-term goals, whether it's this next shift or as a line or as a pair of D, to accomplish the little things that can add up over a course of a game. And then I think that's how you get a little momentum on your side, or things going in the right way. And our power play has been a little better in the last few games. That's a good sign. So there's some things that we can do individually, and the collective part is the more of an attitude thing that, hey, boys, let's find a way to accomplish this and turn something in a tough situation, turn it around in our favor, and go from there.
Probably as baffling as anything this season has been the fact that I think going into the game at Vegas the other night, you had the exact same record home versus road, and I think your road record, you know, about 500, you probably would have taken that. But have you been able to figure anything out as to why this team has struggled at home the way it has after being so dominant?
Good question. That's probably the one thing is, in the past we say, you know, we always start off in our minds, if we can be 500 on the road, we'll find a way to get home wins. And you know, I think that whether it's the you know, I think the one thing is our consistency this year, managing the puck, has been something that we haven't been as good as we need to be. I think that way the other team doesn't have to defend. We're making them, when I say the other team, we don't have to defend, and we're making them play in their own end, and all of a sudden, you know, a lot of things can develop, scoring chances, goals, penalties, and then that hasn't been the case for a lot of the year, and we haven't got a real good four-line rotation where everybody seems to be doing the same thing. We're all, you know, all four lines are in the other team's end, and we're generating it, and we're sustaining it, and I think that's the thing is, we can have stretches. We've had some real good stretches in games, but from start to finish is something that's been our challenge.
I know you could probably just put this on a recorded loop and run it over and over again, but what can you tell us about goaltender now? I know Crawford's been on the trip with you, and with and now a move involving Glass and maybe Berube.
Berube, he's been out for the last, he's been out for a long time,
right,
with a lower body injury, and he's played the last couple games down there, and so that's the move. So he's coming up today, and Glasser, we'll see what happens with him over the next few hours.
And listen, we wish nothing but success to Jeff Glass, whatever happens in his career. He's been a great story. He really has. You know, it's tough
our
business.
And Glass has been a great story, and Glasser did a great job for us, and I think that our goaltending through this whole stretch all year long, when Crow went down, has been very good. Recently, not as good as we'd liked, but it's not on the goalies; it's on our team, and everybody's got to absorb some of this responsibility and find a way. And it's I think the goaltenders have doing their part of giving us a chance to get points in most of these games, and outside of the last few games, we've let in a couple of funny ones. But that's every team lets in, you know, tough ones, and I think that's how you respond to it is the next challenge.
773 texter says, Coach Q, is this the toughest challenge in your coaching career, considering the talent on the team? Have you thought much about that?
It hasn't been fun at all. I think that we're as a staff, as a coach, you know, you're always trying to find ways to get the most out of your team and find a way to win hockey games or get points. I think at the beginning of the year we were in the mix. We're at that point where we're in the playoff spot or pushing for one, and we thought that was going to be the race all year long, and we're going to be part of it. And then obviously we lost a ton of ground here in this recent stretch. That's probably as tough as we've had to deal with, and knowing that the uphill battle or the chance to get back in the mix is gigantic. And so we created a really big hole for us, and a different challenge that and how we're dealing with now is different than we've ever had to think of around here. And so we're trying to find ways coming in, whether we give ourselves the best chance, making lines with the guys that are competitive, and the guys that are working harder are going to get a little bit more, and make it. That's kind of been how we've always worked it anyways, but that's kind of where we're at today.
You know, the biggest mistake a professional athlete can make is assuming they have a job next year. So as a Hawk fan, a diehard Hawk fan, and I know all Hawk fans feels this way, that we don't believe anybody on this team is going to take a shift off or phone it in, because that's not how you guys are made up. So let's ride it out together, man. Let's see what happens. Anything's possible, Coach. The fat lady ain't singing yet.
I like to hear that. You know that. And you know what? We've been on some runs here as a player, as a coach here. From this point on here, and all of a sudden things can change dramatically. So we're looking for a little bit of change here, and in a positive way. Let's see if we get, you know, right now we're looking for the baby step first, and we'll go from there.
Appreciate the time, the honesty, and I appreciate you not punching me. I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys.
That's Coach Q. He's from never your Chicago punched Blackhawks. You? No, because he knows what would happen.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I would run.
You'd get a big bandage.
Well, you know what? Honestly, that's no fun for him to be in that position, whether it's with us or whether it's standing a bunch of beat reporters. Obviously, who's trying the hardest to figure it out? Coach Q, the coaching right. staff, John McDonough, you know, Blunk, everybody. But they're all trying to get it figured out. And if you see any of these guys quit, they're going to be the first to notice it. So this may be able to be turned around still. Obviously, that's a long shot now. But this team has given us far too much entertainment and three cups in the last 10 years. Why stop believing in them now?
Well said. Well said.
You were going to say?
We have to give props to the Blackhawks fans, too, because, Dave, the entire Las Vegas Strip.
It had to be 50% of the crowd. 50% of the crowd in the building.
We had breakfast. We went and we said, oh, we're going to maybe try and find a few Blackhawks fans. We were swamped.
Yeah.
So, and you can see all the photos at in the gallery.
Do we have your interviews up? We played a clip yesterday morning.
Yeah, we put a couple interviews up from the Blackhawks fans.
We played some stuff yesterday with Pete.
Some were outside the casino, some were inside the casino. And this woman, the one woman that we talked to, Steve, remember, she was screaming and yelling, and she just won a ticket. And she said, $88. And we went, oh, $88 in the slot. That's not too bad. And she went, no, it's 88 cents.
She was saving her ticket.
Because it had Patrick Kane's number on it.
Because she didn't want to turn it in and collect the 88 cents.
Now, right.
I would have collected it because that would have been the only win I had in 3 days. Oh, hi, everybody. Hi, how are you?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Hello.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Big 9 o'clock hour coming up with CLTV, and we booked the mayor of Elmwood Park. He doesn't do just any show.
No.
I want you to know
that. We got very lucky with this one.
Stand by for that. John Williams will be in. We'll talk a little bit about John's show. We haven't done, I kind of know an Olympian today, so we'll have to do that as well.
That's right.
These are people. Listen, if you would, if you dated a famous gold medal winning Olympian, that's not what we're interested in. We're interested in the fact that maybe you know someone who once sold donuts
right.
to Sean White, that kind of thing.
Or the guy who went to high school with Red Gerard, but he graduated four years before him, barely knew him.
Yeah. I kind of know an Olympian. That's coming up. Dave, the big fight for air climb 2018 is when?
It is Sunday, March 11th at the Presidential Towers in Chicago, the American Lung Association, and we're going to climb...
One, two, three, or all four?
I'm going to climb all four, I think.
That's 2,340 steps.
But you don't have to climb all four.
No kidding.
You can climb one. Steve, you could climb two.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to take an elevator to the top,
mm-hmm.
take an elevator back down. I'm going to do that four times.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to take a break.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to write a check to you.
Okay.
So,
okay, you really.
It's a Steve Cochran elevator challenge. How long will my patience last in waiting for the elevator to show up?
You know, I think you just hit on something.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, will you take my check too, or is it?
No,
too
it's
much?
Fine.
Okay,
no, I'll stretch before. I should be fine.
The burden I know will be a lot for you.
Register now to join us. 89 cents of every buck raised goes directly to education, research, and advocacy, and fight for clean air and clean lungs in Illinois. Register a pledge online at wgnradio.com/events or fightforairclimb.org. And the news is next.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
912, handsome John Williams in studio. He's on every day from 1 to 3 and Saturday mornings. What time Saturday mornings?
Seriously.
What time really? Saturday mornings?
10 a.m.
10
a.m. to noon.
I'm just looking up at the monitors in CLTV, and I look like a fired White Sox manager in my White Sox hat this morning.
You need a bigger hat.
Oh.
Or
head or hat?
Well, they need to be the same size.
Okay, right.
I do. I look like a guy.
One's got to be smaller, one's got to be bigger.
I look like the guy right before.
Before you get
right
fired?
Before the guy. So, John Williams is here, and this is a ridiculous day. You know, just a rinse and repeat, the worst possible story, another school shooting. And, John, I don't know if you'll back me up on this. I assume you will. I say we get a Boeing 777.
Yeah, I'm in.
Every time there's one of these shootings, we fly all 535 members of Congress to the site and let them look the people in the eyes who have been victimized and tell them why they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
You with me?
I'm with you, Steve. I'll fly the plane.
There you go. It's just outrageous. Just absolutely outrageous. And, you know, here we lose Paul Bauer this week.
Right.
Commander Paul Bauer, because we don't have laws that keep a four-time felon in jail.
Isn't that kind of a twisted irony that the day after we're going to be thinking about the commander here, police officers are running into harm's way
Florida. And 2 days before Commander Bauer shot, Eddie Johnson has a press conference saying, please close these loopholes.
It's outrageous. In 2018, every 2.5 days, we have had a school shooting, and 400 plus kids in school have been killed since Sandy Hook. I don't want to hear about this is not the time. This is the time. Right now is the time.
We just need a new dialogue, though, because one of the first texts I saw yesterday was, so what are you going to do, take away the cars and the baseball bats and the knives?
Shut up.
I've never heard of a mass baseball batting, so I don't think those are apples and apples myself.
The argument that the Second Amendment is under threat is ridiculous. We can't get an agreement in Washington that the sky is blue. Do you actually think they're going to stand up at any point, regardless of party in power, and take away your guns? No. But you know what you don't need? An AR-15. You don't need assault weapons. You don't need clips on guns with the amount of ammunition that they currently carry. You don't need to be able to sell a gun to some shady individual online, completely privately, or in the parking lot. There need to be regulations that are at least as strict as buying Sudafed at Walgreens for getting a weapon, as Andrea pointed out this morning. So it's, I'm pissed off.
I don't blame you, Stephen. When I got up this morning, I thought, well, here we go again. In fact, my producer, Elif, said to me yesterday, well, what kind of conversation are we going to have about this tomorrow? I'm on from 1 to 3 today. And I said, I don't know. I don't know, because this feels like all the other conversations we've had. And I'll say the same things, and they'll say the same things, and nothing will happen. And I don't know. Maybe you're right, Steve. We need to get I'll drive a bus. I don't really fly a lot of airplanes. I'll get a bus. We'll put our delegation.
Yeah, if you're not going to do anything,
we'll drive them to there.
You need to go look these people in the eye.
Yeah.
Chuck Todd was on this morning. He brought up a great point. He said if the number of Cessnas, I forget what he said, was it 18? Whatever the number of shootings have been in the first 6 weeks of the year, let's say it's 16, 18, whatever it is.
He's 18.
If we had 18 Cessnas go down in that period of time,
you're right.
They'd be running to do testimony on Capitol Hill.
Absolutely. And we were saying, too, all morning, John, these are common sense gun laws and loopholes that shouldn't even be there in the first place. Like the press conference last week, the law, there was until recently a law on the book saying that a carjacking suspect had to know that the car he was driving was stolen in order for charges to be pressed.
Oh, really?
I mean, come on.
Well, this was a school with a couple of guns in there anyway. I mean, there were a couple of officers on the campus at the time or in the building. I presume they were armed. If that's the case, I don't, you know, I just don't think there's much you can do if somebody is dedicated and has access to
weapons. And purchases guns legally.
So everybody arming the schools or every student, every teacher having a gun. Some people want that. That makes me crazy.
The idea that a good guy with a gun is going to stop a bad guy with a plan and a gun is ridiculous. We had a lot of good guys with guns in Las Vegas. How'd that work out?
Yeah, that's true.
We'll continue throughout the day talking about this because that's part of our job, too. And I'd like to tell you, we have brilliant ideas that will change the world. But I'll tell you one thing we do know. You got to get involved. You got to vote. We're trying to make America vote again in the primary on March
20th.
I'm really glad to hear how you guys have been breaking this down county by county, too.
Yeah.
I've been listening, and even when it wasn't my county, I thought, I'm glad to hear that. People should know this stuff.
Yeah,
and it's never been easier to do candidate research. VoteSmart.org. You know, just Google VoteSmart and it'll show you 50 other websites like it. The Chicago Tribune website's great.
Yeah.
The TV stations have websites that break down the races.
And when you get a driver's license, now you're automatically registered to vote, unless you say otherwise. So It's easy to do.
I don't know. How's your week been without us?
Well, Pete,
you
did
heard
a great
I'm a
show.
Chorus girl, right?
Pete did a great show.
I heard he tried to do a coup. Like at some point in the morning, he said, "Tell Larry Wirt if you want me to continue to do this show."
Yeah, and Todd Manley. I think Todd Manley's name was mentioned in there too. Yeah.
No, but just as an aside, I had Pete on the other day because we were talking about the White Sox. He had a real good White Sox story. Did you hear his White Sox
story? I did not. No,
I'm sure he's told it before. But when the White Sox were in the World Series, the one game they lost was the game that he sent his intern to the hotel.
But they didn't lose.
They swept the Astros
in the World Series. In the playoff run. In that playoff run, they lost one game.
First series, I think, right?
And so McMurray goes, "I know the pitcher who's starting for the other team. He sent his intern to that guy's hotel room to bang on the door in the early morning."
Oh, that was nice.
To sort of rattle him, and that pitcher was the only win for the other team in the entire
Nice
run.
Job, Pete.
And the intern got arrested.
Nice job, Pete.
So he's not allowed to go to any White Sox games this season.
I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. It was a good publicity stunt anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited about the White Sox being here. I mentioned this earlier, John, when we were negotiating the last contract with the Cubs in 2014. The Cubs had every opportunity to continue on this radio station and chose not to for business reasons. So while I fully respect everybody going, how could WGN ever put the Chicago White Sox on? Baseball belongs on this radio station. I'm one of those people willing to admit I'm a fan of both sides. I was doing White Sox baseball in the 90s when I was on the Loop and AM 1000. I'm thrilled that we have the White Sox.
I'm one of those people who's been a Cubs fan because I worked at WGN, and that's what a lot of us in this city are, Cub fans. My problem with the White Sox is not that I don't like them. I just don't know them.
Yeah.
So like yesterday, did you notice I just dropped that interesting factoid about the White Sox in the playoffs in my conversation?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm loading up on all of the like Sox stuff I need to know. Here, you want me to give you another one?
Yeah, I got another one.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Yes, John.
Speaking of the White Sox, name the five guys who wore a White Sox uniform who are in the 500 home run club.
Jim Thome.
One.
Frank Thomas.
Two.
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson.
No, Bo Jackson, if he hadn't been hurt, would have 12,000 home runs by now.
Right.
I'm trying to remember them myself.
Frank Thomas.
We got Thome. Frank.
Sammy Sosa.
That's a good point.
And who's the guy that plays for him now who has one home run with them?
Did you see Sosa in the cowboy outfit, by the way?
I did.
It's not good.
We have to stop making fun of the way he looks now.
It's not good. And when we say we, do you mean you as well? All right, so Thome.
I'm posting the quiz on my website.
Who are
on
the
my
other
Facebook
two?
Page.
Now I need to know. Who are the other two?
I don't remember.
He doesn't know.
Here, I'll look it up.
I'm just happy, John. I'm back in my family.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, yes! There you go. Yes!
That's one.
Yes! Are you cheating?
Yeah,
you
Joe Romano.
No,
Joe Romano's going to give me the answer.
So we got Ken Griffey Jr., Sammy Sosa, Frank Thomas.
Jim Thome.
Jim Thome.
And we're missing one.
And the guy who plays for them now. There's a guy who plays for them now who has
one. He's got 500?
Yeah, and he has, I don't know, maybe that's not true. Like I said, I'm one of these fans.
I think we would know.
Way to get behind it.
Manny Ramirez.
Manny Ramirez.
Okay, that's Joe Romano. Thank you, Joe. I can't take credit for credit. John, I said, I'm happy I'm allowed back in my family because they're all Southside White Sox fans.
So many of my friends are White Sox fans.
Yep.
And I know they listen to WGN because we've been friends for a long time and we talk. And I'm just like, my phone was ringing and pinging yesterday.
Yeah.
And I know we feel like the Cubs station. And we will always have Cubs baseball in our DNA here. But I think we've neglected the Southside baseball
team. There's no question.
For too long. So now we are one. Hooray.
And they've been on the wrong outlets. They're going to get heard here.
Yeah, I know.
So,
all right, are the Cubs still on the radio by any chance?
I don't think so.
I don't think their games are broadcast now.
No, I think after that World Series, they went out of business. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what I heard.
All right, here's the deal. We want to do a quick edition of I Kind of Know an Olympian. All right. John may even have a story. And if not, I'll ask him to make one up.
Yeah.
312-981-7200 is the number for you texters or phone callers as well. Now sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com, I am wanting to tell you, so I will, Walter Jacobson's perspective can be heard at WGNRadio.com, and we're back after this.
Do you know him? Do you really?
Come on. You don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay, well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian!
Kind of. John Williams is here 1 to 3 every afternoon, Saturday mornings as
10
well.
To noon. Yep.
I forgot that I kind of know an Olympian. Kevin Cordes, the Olympic swimmer, grew up like right behind me. Grew up in my neighborhood.
Oh. Did you ever meet him?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know his family.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Holy cow, it just dawned on me. I was making up a silly story. Does it count that I interviewed Greg Louganis?
It does here.
I know an Olympian.
You practically lived with him.
Yeah, I did not.
All right, here comes some of the texters chiming in on I kind of know an Olympian. 847, we know Brady Tunnell from Twin Rinks Ice in Buffalo Grove. She was one of the skaters that my daughter looked up to and aspired to be like a great role model for younger skaters at Twin Rinks. Go Brady.
Yeah.
It's nice. 815, I skied with my cousin when she had borrowed the official uniform ski pants from her friend who was an Olympian.
I had a Euro at the Olympic Deli in Carbondale.
Oh, that's true. That's exactly the same. It's exactly it.
Just dawned on me. I've got two now.
Oh, and here's another Kevin Cordes story. 630. My daughter had the opportunity to swim with Olympic swimmer Kevin Cordes when he would come back from college breaks over the past few years to train with a local swim club. She was the smallest girl in the pool. He was the tallest. He's super tall. Yeah. I knew him when he wouldn't come up to my knee.
Wow.
And now he's about 6'12". I begged her to take a picture with him because it would be so cute. She refused because it wasn't cool. Instead, she'd lay at the bottom of the pool and watch him swim. Well, not literally the bottom of the pool.
You want to redo that sentence, I think, Steve.
She never talked to him. I kind of know an Olympian.
Did you see the video of Michael Chen when he was doing the jump? Like, he's 3 years old. He's got skates on and his snow outfit or whatever. And he's skating like at 1 mile an hour. And then he just jumps both feet up in the ground.
Yeah.
And then does a little thing with his hands.
It's so cute. I love when they do. I am a huge sucker for the backstories.
Yeah.
And I love when they show the footage. Any those country kids. Of yeah. when they're kids. Yeah. Even Lindsey Vonn when she's little.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And they're like three on skis and skates and. Wow.
I was busy in Vegas losing my money. Has Lindsey Vonn skied yet?
When you were young?
I don't know. Has she skied yet?
No.
I don't think so.
No, she hasn't.
Okay. Michaela Schifrin won a gold, though.
She did. Mm-hmm. She did, but she's going to go for three more, not four, as originally planned.
I feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how many are you going for?
I'm not really actually in the Olympics this year.
It's hard to believe.
No.
It's a shock to everybody.
It's just crime.
Larry Wirt is the president and chief poobah of Tribune Media, and he's standing by at a local airport before he flies off and reprimands another television station somewhere in America. Jerry Reinsdorf is the chairman, and we want to get both of them on to talk a little bit about how this came together and how excited we are about being the flagship of the Chicago White Sox. And, Joe, it's up to you from here to lock one of these guys in. Good morning, Larry Wirt.
Hi, Steve.
I know we've never met, but I just want to tell you I'm a big fan.
Well, that's two lies in 3 seconds.
And joining us, the chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf. Listen, Jerry, it's been too long. Thank you for coming on this morning.
Well, we're delighted to be back on WGN. I'm not delighted to be up this early because I'm out in Arizona. I'm in a different time zone. But it's great to be on with Larry, and it's great to be back with WGN.
Larry, how did you meet Jerry originally?
I believe it was in 1990 when we formed our partnership and first radio partnership at the Loop AM 1000, which we converted to WMVP. And I may have met Jerry once or so before that, but that's when we first got into business together.
And Jerry, and Larry and Jerry, as you guys know, these things usually take 6 months minimally to put these kind of deals together. Jerry, this got together, what, in 2 weeks?
Well, about that, maybe a little bit longer. But, you know, Larry and I have been friends, not just business associates, but friends for 30 years, and or almost 30 years. And when there's a high degree of trust, you operate on handshakes. You don't worry about lawyers.
So, Larry Wirt, what excites you most about having him on this great radio station?
Well, I echo what Jerry said. I trust him, nobody more in business, and he's been a mentor for me, and taught me very early that a relationship of trust is critical. Look, WGN last had the White Sox, I believe, in 1943.
Yes, Dave covered it.
Yes, I did.
I think the announcers were Brickhouse and Dwight Eisenhower. It was literally that long ago.
Maybe Ronald Reagan.
I think everyone knows we're partners also in television with the Bulls and the Sox right now, and to extend in this partnership with the White Sox on WGN-AM to join the Blackhawks and all of our other content is a wonderful thing.
Jerry, there's always been a special relationship between baseball and the radio. Are you somebody who, I know you like being at the ballpark, but if you're not, are you someone who still enjoys sitting down and listening to a baseball game on the radio?
I believe that baseball, of all the sports, is a radio game. I grew up, you know, I learned baseball on the radio back in the 40s, you know, listening to Red Barber in the days when I was in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it, with the right radio announcers who are able to paint the picture, baseball is a beautiful thing on radio.
And we're also excited to have Farmio, Ed Farmer, who's been with the White Sox for 114 years and still looks good. He's going to be doing the radio call. And
there's your third lie. He doesn't look good at all.
Right? My dad went to high school with Ed.
Is that right with Ed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
loved him.
Okay. Well, anyway, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you getting up. We're excited about it, and it's going to be a great summer because baseball is summer, and baseball belongs on WGN. Last word, Mr. Wirt.
Just thank you, Jerry. I'm glad we're going forward and looking forward to the journey ahead with the Sox. We all know it's on the upswing.
Yes, it is. We're looking for a great few years coming up.
All right. Thank you, both you guys. Appreciate it. White Sox baseball. Baseball's back in WGN where it belongs, and we have the White Sox, exciting Chicago White Sox. Anything's possible, John Williams. This could be a very interesting year.
I was thinking you were going to hit him up for a better hat, but I guess we've already covered the hat.
Bigger or better?
Either way. Either way.
Hey.
Sorry, Mr. Cochran.
We're going right to headlines? Is that what we're doing?
Okay.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. I got
a new girl. Question just came up. How did we get Larry Wirt and Jerry Reinsdorf on this show? And I think it was Dave. What was your theory, Dave?
I think they thought they were on another station.
That's probably it. What? Cochran Show? Why would we do Cochran Show?
Steve, nice get.
Yeah. John Williams is here, and you hear John this afternoon at 1. I didn't ask you yet. You got something you want to plug in particular?
Wow. Come back to me in about 30 seconds on that.
One of Chicago's great people here in studio, the legend, Elmwood Park Mayor Angelo Skip Saviano. What's up, Skip?
Thanks, Steve.
Good to see you, man.
Great to see you guys. I have just one question before we get started. When does Andrea sleep? Because I see her here every morning. I see her on the weekends on
TV.
WGN.
Yeah.
It's amazing the schedule you keep.
That's why she knows everyone in Chicago. Well, who are you talking about? You know everybody in Chicago.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
That's why I'm coming to your place for lunch. Thanks for bringing us lunch.
It is restaurant week. This is the first one, isn't it?
This is the first one we've established in Elmwood Park, kind of tagging on with the Chicago Restaurant Week. We start tomorrow. It goes to the 25th. Our restaurant scene in Elmwood Park has transformed into something that we never really expected. We had restaurants. Just a couple of notes. Russell's Barbecue since 1930. Jim and Pete's since 1943. Alpine Sub since 1955. Elmcrest Banquets since 1929. Armin's Pizza, 1956. Johnny's Beef since 1961. New Star Restaurant since 64.
How about that?
So, and these older restaurants are reinvesting in their businesses.
Sure.
And as a result, we're getting new businesses, new restaurants. Restaurant Row, which is on North Avenue, if you're familiar with it, we have Chinese, we have Cuban, we have Italian, we have Japanese, we have everything you want on that roll, and it's really working.
Well, and the core for a great town is restaurants, and these restaurants have been around forever because that's where they want to live and do business, and obviously been successful. So, what do you want to highlight about this week? Well, why don't you just tell us what you brought in?
Well, we brought in a pineapple cheesecake from Vito's Old Italian. In fact,
this is
Larry
so
Wirt's going to be there Sunday for a party. He texts me.
Speaking of people who never go home, I mean, Larry Wirt is out all the time.
Yeah, he's on the street. He gets out there. We have tiramisu from Jim and Pete's.
Okay.
Jim and Pete's just reinvested $800,000 in their restaurant.
How about that?
That's a big a big plug for us. We have these
keep holding that up. They'll get it on camera here in a second.
We have these cannolis from D'Agostino's, which is a little cafe on Grand Avenue.
Which is fantastic, by the way. I've actually been there.
Yes.
Andrea and holding up the cheesecake.
I have the pineapple cheesecake.
Pineapple cheesecake from Vito's Old Italian.
Careful, Andrea. You're about to let it slip right out of the box.
Oh, there. No, I won't. Trust me.
You're going to love that. And the sandwiches are from Lolo's restaurant, which is on Diversey in Elmwood Park.
Lolo's. I've got the menu here. Pizza, pasta, and subs. And John, I think if you order for lunch, they deliver to you. Otherwise, the people from Elmwood Park generally don't swing by the
There's
city.
Enough food in here I'm not going to have to order, but I will if I need to.
You know what a cool idea, though? Because Restaurant Week in Chicago is so big. I think this is awesome. I think a lot of the villages and cities should do this because it highlights not only restaurants, but think about when you get together, you go for dinner, you go for lunch,
drinks. One of the things, in Elmwood Park, we have 25,000 residents, and for the most part, we're a bedroom community. And so we have to generate revenue through sales tax. Our restaurants are big, big engines for doing that for us, so I can keep the property taxes lower. And it works.
There you go.
Well, but, you know, one of the reasons Skip's good mayor is because he had experience in Springfield for how many years?
20 years. I was a legislator.
20 years. Also cooked for every governor that went to jail and the ones that stayed out as well.
Both, yeah.
Yeah. And so you know,
discriminate.
So you know food and you know politics. By the way, what are these little chocolate bad boys we're
having
over here?
Those are from our new restaurant, 18 West, in the Village Circle. That's a flourless chocolate cake, but we put little berries on them so Andrea thought she'd
eat healthy. Yeah, exactly. It's healthy. It's funny, though, because we started with about 12, and Steve's been holding that tray for what, like 15 minutes now?
John took 9 of them.
Now there's two down.
Did you share with the whole class, Steve, your theory about food like that?
They're going to say, did he share the chocolate with the whole class?
I think if you bombed the Taliban or Al-Qaeda with chocolate, we could get them super quick. Yeah. They'd just be sitting around in their own language saying, wow, are these good?
They'd be doing what I'm doing, going, hey, have you got a napkin? And the next thing you know, an M1 tank rolls down the
street. Got him.
I have to ask if you like to cook. You're, so what's something if you just, you know, if you whip up dinner, what would you make?
Well, I obviously a pasta. I'll do a quick marinara sauce with maybe a cavatelli. And
I'm surprised that you know Italian food. That seems odd to me.
I know. I'm trying to venture out.
It sounds good.
I'm actually making some good chicken fried steak now with some gravy and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, look at you, your inner redneck coming forward.
I would love to have some of his cavatelli, but I don't know what cavatelli is.
Yeah, you do. It's the pasta it's the twirly shape, right?
Is that
It's little like dumplings.
Oh, nice.
You know, similar to a gnocchi, but gnocchis have potato in it.
Right.
Cavatelli's just a lot lighter.
I like
you thought gnocchi was the noise the Affleck duck makes. Yes.
But I like how you say, I just whip up some sauce. That would be like a can, I'm sorry, or a jar.
A jar.
For me.
Yeah.
Whip up some sauce.
Let me ask you a politics question.
Yeah, sure.
I have never seen, I think you and I are about the same age. Mm-hmm. I have never seen in my life an era in politics where it's not about doing the right thing. It's only about being right. Is that one of the reasons you got out?
Well, the last 4 years I was there, which was like from 2010 to 2013, we just couldn't get anything done. It became so polarizing.
Yeah.
You know, as a legislator, I wanted to help people. I wanted to help people who needed help, my seniors, my young people, but also I wanted to bring back pork. I needed to rebuild my streets. I needed to rebuild our sewers, all that, and that just stopped.
Right.
So I felt worthless. Mm-hmm. That's why being mayor now, since I've been mayor, we've paved 70% of the streets. We got rid of all the flooding in the town. It was a flood-prone town. We did a flood mitigation program. That's done. All new lighting. And I think that's why you're seeing these restaurants come in town now.
But see, that's one of the reasons I brought it up, because with the constant harangue here, and it's the right thing, it's property taxes.
Yes.
And property taxes are a local issue. So I just wanted to see if you would say what you just said, and that is that you're getting more done as mayor than you ever could with a bunch of knuckleheads who just wanted to argue with each other.
Well, I don't want to bummer.
Are you telling me those are my words?
Colleagues.
Those are my words? Is that what you're trying to say?
For the record, Steve Cochran said that.
Mm-hmm. But Elmwood Park is lucky to have you. I mean that.
It's. I'll tell you, I'm in the town 50 years. You know, I know every alley. I rode my bicycle through every alley, every street. I played baseball, all the sand lots. I did everything. And it's real rewarding. It's almost like a hobby for me. I don't get paid a lot to do it.
You got a great Twitter page, too. Follow him at Elmwood PK.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll have to follow you.
Yeah, my Facebook. I've got almost 7,000 followers.
You got a big following on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's good friends with Pat Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, there you Pat go. Brady. You're in.
Well, I was on the state Republican Party when Pat was chairman, and we took a lot of heat up there, you know, but I think we did a good job.
Yeah, a couple of courageous guys. John, anything for our mayor friend?
How many, as you were talking to him about being in the legislature, how much of it was the party telling you guys what to do, like we all need to be together on this?
Well, you know what? The party has transformed. It's gone from the center a little bit more to the right. But the bottom line was, I mean, I was always called the Rhino. So, and you know what Rhino is.
Republican in name only. Yeah.
But I was representing the people that that elected me. You know, my people are blue collar, hard working people. Social issues, they vary. You know. I was pro choice, which didn't sit well with people. I got the votes for gay marriage. I got the votes for driver's licenses for immigrants. I did the DREAM Act with my fellow Hispanic.
Well, that is a rhino. Nice to be the CEO, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Be the boss.
Say, did you say politician working for the people?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make
sure. That's the part that's really weird. Yeah right. That seems odd to
round
recognize.
Round of applause for that one. Whoop, yeah. Whoop, 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 whoop.
All right, so for restaurant, what? For restaurant week in Elmwood Park, got a website you want to send them to?
Yes, we go to elmwoodpark.org/restaurantweek.
Okay.
And we've got all the restaurants there. In fact, I got to give a plug. Tomorrow night, we have Elmwood Park Fight Night. We have some of the best amateur boxing you'll ever find. Jesse White is always my guest, and he loves the fights.
Yeah.
We did it when I first became mayor because it's wintertime. We wanted young families to get out of their homes and in the wintertime.
And get together. Sure.
And get together. It's a great time.
Good times. And but you'll take anybody on as well? Final bout?
Well, no.
You and I are a little too old
for that. No.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's true. Great to see you.
Great to see you guys. Thanks so much.
Skip Saviano brought us in a bunch of food this morning because, boy, do we need it now. Thank you for that. By the way, you didn't give your photographer a plug.
Andrew Mack.
Yeah.
Andrew Mack, our publicist. He does a fine job.
Andrew's great. His dad? Eh. It's 9:51. Chicago Auto Show. Just a few days left. Are you going to get out there? Are you going to see the Chevy Family Fun Zone? Bill Leff, you going to go to the auto show?
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. The exciting Chevy Dealers Family Fun Zone is right there in the South Hall. The Blackhawk Street Team, muscle cars, tricked out Camaros. Plus, when you get in line to get your tickets for the auto show, you'll see me.
Because I sell tickets. People to see you at the auto
show?
He's
on the Jumbotron.
Is that true?
What? I sell tickets. I needed to work.
Oh, I didn't know
that. No, they have video that rolls through, and it's me telling you things.
Oh, that's excellent. Oh, yeah. Informational things, you know?
Yeah. He's doing stand-up.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, but you have to stay in line longer to get the full set. Use your auto show bonus cash now. You get $4,000 total cash on the all-new Chevy Equinox, and the $10,600 in total savings comes on your 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT All-Star. It's a perfect time to buy a new Chevy truck or car or SUV, and they got the big fixed lease. Get you a new one every couple of years. Chevy's got you coming and going. Go to the auto show. Bill, you've been there?
Yeah.
It's the Chicago Auto Show in the Chevy Family Fun Zone. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Best-selling brand in Chicagoland 7 years in a row.
We're looking to get a new Le Car.
Le Car.
Yeah.
Le Car?
Yeah.
That was good.
Right.
Looking
How about
to get the
one
thing?
Of those. Yeah. The Thing. I'm going to get one of those. DeLorean.
Wow.
Remember the Thing?
Yeah. Remember Yugo?
Yep. Those are nice.
Or Fieros.
Those are all.
Oh, Fieros were cool.
It is a new segment called Crappy Cars We Remember.
It was the Yugo Screw Yourself. Remember those?
That's right.
Those were great cars.
Yeah, because you felt so terrible about yourself as soon as you bought it.
I loved the mascot.
Yes.
Screwy?
Yes.
He was funny.
They're not like dance. Your car, Steve.
Yeah, which one? The Tahoe?
White Lightning.
Wow. Oh, wow. Look at that. Look what you did there.
We're so good.
Have you guys been to Vegas lately?
No,
been
I have not.
A couple of years. Was
if
it
you guys,
exciting?
You want to go visit my money?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I heard it was spread out at several different locations.
I did. I went to different casinos because I thought it was only fair. If I'm going to leave a little at Caesars, why not leave a little at Bellagio?
Right.
As well?
You're good that way. I loved listening to you gambling for the listeners. That was really fun. Yeah. It really was.
And
sounds.
Yeah, one, four. Mm-hmm. Another one, two.
$8.
Yeah, another one, $8.
Where did you lose the least among the casinos?
Probably Bellagio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Good to know.
We met a lady who wanted who won 88 cents and wanted to keep the ticket because it was Patrick Kane's number.
That's adorable.
Now, part of the deal is I had to make some money back, so I did a little chorus girl work. And let me tell you something. Those sequins chafe like you would not believe.
Jubilee.
You actually got paid for that to make your money back?
It was the headdress, though, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Headdress.
It's really the problem.
Yeah. All right. So, allegedly,
yeah,
Donald Trump will be addressing the nation at 10 o'clock. He's never on time.
Oh.
So Steve will be tap dancing with the regular news coming up, if in fact that needs to be the case.
Actually, there's a news conference going on now in Florida, and the White House has said that they aren't going to
interrupt that.
They'll go just after that concludes.
Okay, well, that seems like a good plan.
We have to bump Ed Farmer then.
Yeah.
Ed Farmer's coming on today?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, yep. I like him.
Did you guys hear we got the White Sox?
No.
I am so psyched. You need a bigger hat.
Why does everybody say that? This is the one hat I have on my head.
Bigger head or bigger hat?
That hat's not even big enough. Like, if we had to have a drawing where you'd put two names in a hat, it wouldn't even hold the two names.
Is that a kid's hat?
I sneezed earlier. It flew off and killed two people. All right. We're early. I know that throws everybody off. We got like 45 seconds. But you guys can kill it yourselves. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Steve.